kāng gajār zhōng tāyō māngōm, kēsāng zhōngbēn dāng tā zhōng, tsāng hui zhō zhēn rīk sāyō, rōkēn mē kī dār tsā kīr, tīk jīn dā mā kī nī, jī rōng jīk tēng sīm jī kāng kia pā, tāng pā mā kā rō zhā pā tē rōng dāg lū pān sūr kiong, Or jim tsong lo pan mi dong bo la. Yarvi nam tu rong shong leng ji to. Tsan zi hui shi yong tong zong bar vi. Pan mam zhong ni dao lu pan sur chong. Rik tong jem per zhong ni shen lov le. Gombe hlone po birte jetur long to chumzo jam chung a dong cho ma phon jang yang nam jar la so wan de ane chen jo chen ni jang kam su jam par tik ji shan la ya la men jing me phan so ja la so wan de gong je to ban por shin ji lo Then, today, here, and most beautiful place, and also wonderful wisdom and lots of knowledge in happening in this place. Therefore, I'm say happy to join here to share my spiritual and meditation experiences with you. And then I just arrived yesterday from California. Then I'm just living in San Francisco. And then I just came here to teach on East Coast and Boston, New York. And today I like to talk about meditation, enlightenment, happiness, sense of well-being, and compassion, all positive emotions, experiences. How to flourish these things, every individual's life, how to reduce negative thoughts, emotions, experiences of human life. And that is really our, I want to talk about today. And that's really our most important is, here is a point of view of the Buddha's teachings, particularly Padmasambhava's teachings. I want to talk with you, you know, their perspective, how to reach, gain happiness, and also sense of well-being, and also enlightenment. Everybody. And that is really, everybody can have, you know, everyone can experience suffering, unhappiness. Same is everybody can experience enlightenment, you know, or everybody can have free from all suffering. That's If you have suffering, unhappiness, also same time you can also have free from suffering and happiness. You know, that the other side coin. And therefore, human beings, we have very educated about physically, you know, physical, like we know how to take care physically. You know, most people know, most common world knowledge is the concern is how to take care of their physical, you know, needs and how to feed their, you know, how to eat, you know, something, how to wear something, how do you know, like, go somewhere, you know, how to see something, you know, how to test something. And but we are not educated about the mind, you know. Most 90% we do everything for our body. Very little much, less, maybe 10%. Some people never pay attention to their minds. Therefore, you don't pay attention to your mind, then you cannot reduce suffering mentally, emotionally. It's hard to gain happiness, contentment, sense well-being through, you know, mentally, emotionally. Then the Buddhist teachings, particularly meditations, teachings are concerned about human mind. You know, how to reduce human negative emotions. You know, like negative emotions are unnecessary. You know, they're symptoms of mind. How to reduce and how to expand and or develop positive emotions. You know, like something, again, healthy mind, you know. Most people think healthy mind is someone's not crazy, then it's healthy, you know. You're not crazy, now you're healthy. But the real point of view, the real mind point of view, Dharma perspective, the Buddhist perspective, still you have anger, jealousy, unhappiness, anxiety, that means your mind is not healthy, you know. That all symptoms of mind. They call five poisons. You know, five poisons means anger, aggression, attachment, aversion, jealousy, envy, you know, arrogance. They're called five emotions. There are human beings have, if you have degrees, high degree level these things, and then you are unhappy and also discontent, also turbulent, higher degree, and then you have low degree, then you feel temporary happiness, fulfillment. But completely, these emotions are, you know, when disappear, we call that is enlightenment. Today I want to speak about particularly our human mind. We are really, you know, this is, you know, most famous place, and you know, Harvard University is, you know, like I think everyone knows, you know, and we need more pay attention to our minds, you know, how sense of well-being our mind, and sense of well-being, and you know, happiness, satisfaction, you know, all these things, highest degree level, it's not like lowest degree level. Then how do you do that is we are focused on the human mind, you know, how to work with your mind is through meditation. The meditation is best tool working your mind, you know. And even if you have, you know, like successful, let's say, you are famous, you have wealthy, you have intelligent, lots of education, but your mind is agitated, turbulent, discontent. That affects every area of your life. Most people, you know, reduce about the unhappiness, anxiety, sometimes take drugs. Drugs is not a good answer, really. And then what is really answer is working human mind. And once you under control your mental events, see, and then I think you can manage your life much better way. And that's really our, I think, you know, we are just need awakening, wake up. It means we awakening just first, you know, we are, you know, many years human beings, they don't know how to diet, you know. People don't exercise. But slowly, slowly, now, you know, big cities, California, like San Francisco, like New York, most people know how to diet. They eat very good food, you know, which is they eat healthy food and also they do less exercise. And that's become, you know, everybody's doing, you know, commonality. Very similar, we need to have similar a mind, you know. Mind, we need to have more pay attention, like how much we pay attention to our body. Similar, we pay attention to our mind. Therefore, have good diet mind. You know, like say someone's, you know, human beings don't know how to diet their mind. They eat always junky thoughts, you know. They have always eat junky thoughts and mentally so everybody's poor diet. Really, really, and not really that good, but most people don't know how to diet mentally. You know, everybody know how to diet, you know, like physically, of course, you know, they eat lots of good food, they're doing lots of exercise, they have gorgeous bodies. But how many people have gorgeous mind? You know, it's very rare, you know, someone has gorgeous mind. You know, like everybody's under stress, anxiety, you know, sometimes unhappy, sometimes they're fearful, you know, like that. And how do you have perfect mind is have good diet. Means good diet means you know how to meditate and you know how to good diet. It's, you know, like, and then working with your mind is through meditation. You know, I think that's really our, you know, it's very important for people understanding, you know, the spirituality is not like someone's belief system or religion. Spirituality is, you know, about working with your mind. And also, once you improve your mind, your experiences are improved, everything's completely shift, you know. Therefore, I think I want to focus that a little bit tonight. And, you know, like, first is we need to know about, definitely we need to improve our mind. And how do you improve your mind, you know? That's the question, you know. If you need to improve our mind, then how to improve? What is the really, you know, key to improve our mind? Is the question is that, and that is the call is meditation. How to improve your mind? Meditation means, you know, like broad subject. There are many different kind of meditations. Many different kind of meditations. Like meditation is, you know, like, we are talk about, you know, just, you know, sometimes some people think meditation is like taking a nap, you know, like, or sometimes playing with music, you know, you just play with music, you just relax and you lay down there, close eyes. That's called meditation. But here we call meditation is very different. Particularly the Buddhist meditation is there's two different kinds. There's two categories, all meditations. One is meditation with object, you know. One is meditation involved object, something you focus. The other is meditation called objectless meditation. There's no objects involved, you know. These all two things are, then mainly these two meditations, two different goals, achievements, you know. First meditation called with object means what is meditation is the human mind is like wild, you know, like so much, always continually cannot stay one place, always moving one after another. And then there's restless energy, anxious energy, you know, like we are completely addicted, you know, addicted engaging, you know. Some people cannot stop always engaging, you know. Continue to engage in that called addiction of mind, you know. Actually, we never know, but almost every mind, everyone's mind is addicted of engaging. But there's, you know, many different kind of addictions. For example, addictions of, you know, alcohol or drugs or food. But you don't meditate, and your mind is always addicted, engaging. You, without engaging, you cannot sit there, you know. 5 minutes is hard. That means addiction mind is for everyone. And that really creates suffering and unhappiness. Then how do you cut that addiction of mind? You know, something you can, you know, like stay here with 10, 20 minutes, you feel tranquility, relax, contentment, you know. You're not anxious, you're not fearful, you're not, you know, like you're not missing anything. You know, that kind of present moment, we don't have that. That means meditation is established that. When you meditate in and then you have mind become more stable. Stable means not just only meditate, not during the meditation, but after the meditation, you know. After any time, mind has become stable, you know, like, and when your mind has become stable, then every area your life is stable, you know. Your friends, your connections are stable. Your relationships, your happiness, enjoyment, and everything's become stable. Mind is stable, relaxed. The mind is unstable, and then every area affects, and everything's, you know, unstable. You know, most important thing is when we have connections, you know, with human connections. And what is most important is, you know, have stable mind. Once you have mind gains stabilities. Mind's gain means like, you know, mind gain is means like you say, you work out, you gain muscle, you know, muscle. You have lots of muscles here or there, you know. Then you gain muscle. Similar, when through meditation, you gain stability of mind. What is stability mind? It's highest form of happiness. Happiness don't have, you know, always eating something, you know, like drink something or see something. That is, you know, like may happiness, may not. You know, but stability mind is always creates happiness. Yeah, we gain that stability mind. How do you create that stability mind? They call first shamatha meditation, or the object meditation means you focus. Order to you stay mind present, you need to focus one object. For example, you focus one object. And when you focus one object, like such breath, like something like that, and you focus one, like let's say 10 minutes, like 10 minutes or 20 minutes, you focus one object. What happened this during the 20 minutes? This during 20 minutes, what happened internally is there's only one object, there's no other things going on. Therefore, your mind is only see one reality. That what happened that during that means any other thoughts are slowly dissipate. When you know, like 20 minutes, you're only one reality, other thoughts are dissipate, and then means your mind is more, the more your thoughts dissipate, the more you get comfortable, you know. The more you get comfortable, you are more become stable. And that means during the 20 minutes, your mind is stay one focus. That means your mind stays gain stability. And that means thoughts are fewer thoughts there. And then you do every day like that. You train your mind that way. Slowly. At a certain point, even if you are not need focus, your mind stays the same the way. That way. And then the negative, unhappy thoughts, jealousy thoughts, stress thoughts, you know, all these things you cannot experience because you need, they're not your presence because you're not focused them, your focus just breath. Like that way, and then slowly you gain mind tranquility. Mind tranquility you gain, and then there's presence, tranquility like that, and then there's called straight free state, you know, fearless state, and calm abiding state. And that really are, and when you have that, and then without engaging, you still find happiness, you know. And that really are the, you know, like I think source happiness. And when we talk about, you know, like there's happiness means conditional happiness means you happiness based conditions, like, you know, maybe you watching movie, or maybe you want a vacation, maybe you found some partner or something like that. Something always relying some external condition. That means your happiness is at the mercy of circumstances. The circumstance there, then you're happy. Circumstance not there, then you're disappointed, unhappy. You know, something's missing. And therefore, circumstantial happiness. Human beings right now searching a circumstantial happiness. They are not searching unconditional, ultimate happiness. They're completely obsessed, circumstantial happiness. But good temporarily, but finally everyone loses. Because circumstantial happiness is not the answer. You know, everything's, you cannot control. It's out of control because it's not you, it's there. Yeah, and then, you know, the circumstantial happiness is, you know, relying external conditions, and then we cannot control external conditions. Therefore, we cannot control external conditions. That means we cannot control our happiness, or happiness, contentment, or whatever you say is out of control. But, you know, like, there's unconditional happiness. Unconditional happiness means your conditions not depend external conditions. You know, through senses or object, you know, like car or like house or like relationships, you know, your happiness not based off that. Then what is come from that happiness is come from through within your meditation, with your training your mind. You know, training your mind, and your mind is transformed, then everything's there. Then what is like that? That is the very beautiful, you know, one I'm explore share with this, you know, like the wonderful thing. From the people, I always like share this kind of information, experience for other human fellows, that they should know also unconditional happiness, not only conditional happiness, but they also should know unconditional happiness. Unconditional happiness means, through again meditation, there's two meditations. One is object, focus object. The other is objectless meditation. Objectless meditation is the, you know, what is that is the call Pammasambhava, the, you know, second, he says, what is the, you know, how do you, objectless meditation curses, that is the, there's no focus in any object, no focus breath, no focus in any external object, just completely remaining present. What this meditation does is completely clean up your mental emotional distortions. Distortions means, you know, we need to know how, but, you know, for example, if you sick, you know, like something wrong with your body, you deny instead, I'm not sick, then you're never sick doctor, you know. First, something happened, you need to recognize you're sick, for example. Oh, I'm sick, my body is, you know, like something sick. And once you realize that, then you go treatment. Similar, everyone's mind is distorted different ways. You know, like so many thoughts, negative emotions, stress, anxiety, fear, you know, everybody's different kind of tendencies. And then mind is distorted way. But how to clean up all these mind distortions? How to clean up these garbage of your mind? That is called, you know, we call pristine mind meditation. Pristine mind meditation is called Tibetan, they call it Dzogchen style meditation. And it's a Dzogchen style meditation. This meditation is, I want to, you know, talk to you about a little bit this. They call highest the form of meditation. And because this meditation is the key to the unconditional happiness. Also, clean up your mental emotional distortions, you know, like. Then how do you do that? How do you do that? Clean up your mental emotional distortions. And how do you find out that? And then they says, you know, like, it's actually this like that. But this teaching talk about the human mind very different way. Human mind different way. And this is, whether you realize or not, but human mind is innately pristine. You know, human mind is innately pristine and, you know, unconditionally happy or fundamentally comfortable. You know, these words. Human. Then, yeah, they say innately pristine, fundamentally comfortable. Then how do you know that, you know? It's not my mind is not fundamentally comfortable. You know, I have fears, anxieties. I'm happy. Then how do you know your mind is innately comfortable, fundamentally comfortable, innately happy? And that really are comes. And then this, and then, you know, there's meditation techniques you do, meditation. And the doing the meditation, what do you experience? Then says, during the meditation, you found out your mind is innately comfortable, fundamentally, you know, innately happy, fundamentally comfortable. You know, like I have a little bit my own stories, you know, like for example, you know, I can talk to you a little bit. Sometimes Westerners like sometimes personal experience. You know, like that they always asking, you know, like for example, I was one day just stay around, you know, little bit meditation, but not just remaining, just stay there quietly, you know. But this is, but I can explain clearly more. And I notice my mind is really comfortable, you know, like, you know, then I realize my mind is comfortable. Then I realize, not just this moment, my mind is innately comfortable. Without thought, mind is always comfortable. You understand what that means? You have no thought, then mind is always comfortable, all the time. Then, oh, wow, I thought, you know, it's not just this moment, you know. My mind is fundamentally comfortable, you know. I have that experience. Oh, my mind is fundamentally comfortable, you know, like that. And then that's really our, you know, like, that's really for me, it's a very huge thing. Since then, I thought, you know, like, teachings always talk about mind is innately pristine, fundamentally comfortable. I never realized after that it said, then I thought, whoa, mind is innately comfortable, you know. Then uncomfortableness, anxiety, suffering, they are just mental events. Events are like clouds and, you know, come in sky and then disappear. Sky is always blue, but like clouds are temporary. They may stay a few days, but they're temporary. Similarly, and these teachings talk about that, for example, human mind is, you know, like without mental events and always happy, always fundamentally comfortable, there's innate sense of well-being, your mind. You know, innate sense of well-being. Where mind is innately very healthy, you know. You know, we have, you know, physical very healthy, you know. Something's, you know, some people are sick, something's wrong. You know, mind, physical, we are just healthy people. Similarly, mind is innately healthy. Healthy means there's no unhappiness. There's no stress. There's no anger. There's no depression. That means mind is innately healthy. You know, I think all these teachings through meditation, we found out. Meditation means through meditation, you really found out, you experienced these things. You know? There's technique. Padmasambhava's teachings, there's technique called this meditation introduction. I want to just talk about a little bit. There's technique called how do you experience your mind is innately happy, you know, pristine like blue sky. How do you know? There's one meditation technique that says, don't follow past. Don't anticipate in future. Remain in present moment. Leave your mind alone. You know? What is this meditation is the key to when you want to find out what is your mind is innately and then you need to know, you need to do this, you know, just place, very comfortable place, relax through meditation, and then just not follow past. You follow past, it means you're lost. Follow many anxieties, mental events related to past. We think in past, we cannot, mind is disturbed, you know. Therefore, just mind bring present moment. And then, yeah, let's say our mind is this moment, like meditating. We are no longer caught up past events. Let's say mind present. And then don't anticipate in future. If you think in future, then your mind is become more distorted, the worries, concerns, then its mind is, you know, like one cloudy mind cannot see the natural mind. Therefore, for example, sky is cloudy, you cannot see the blue skies, but mind is continually churning like this, you cannot experience fundamental mind. And then it's, not anticipating future, like mind bring present moment. This is live present moment. Then what do you do? There's nothing to do. Leave your mind alone, you know. Leave your mind alone means just there's nothing to, there's nothing focused, there's nothing meditating, just leave your mind alone, naturally, just as it is. If you do that properly, like 10 minutes, what happens in your internally? And during these 10 minutes internally, the thoughts, emotions are almost slowly, slowly dissipating. They cannot survive without focus on their objects. Just slowly, slowly dissipating. The thoughts, emotions are more dissipating, the more you aware about your fundamental mind. Like the clouds are more dissipating, you see the sky or sun, you know? Yeah, that's because they obscure the sky and sun. Similar, during the meditation, the thoughts, emotions, mental events are slowly, slowly dissipating. The more you have experience of natural mind, not fabricated mind. Fabrications, not fabrications, you know, not cranky mind. Cranky mind is disappear. Yeah. And some people are cranky, you know, like, then because they say that you are caught up mental events. The crankiness is disappear. You know, like, and then, you know, like, everything's, you know, like, all mental events are disappear. What is like? That's the most beautiful experience. That's the most beautiful, majestic, happy experience you never have, because your mind is, there's no burdens there. All heaviness is gone. Once you have heaviness gone, and then what you experience that moment, you know, when you know, all mental events are like dissipated, then what is left? You know, all clouds are dissipated, you know, disappear in the sky. What's left is blue sky and the sun, you know. You can see, oh, blue sky and the sun. Similarly, when mental events, thoughts, emotions are during the meditation, dissipate, what is life? What's left? The fundamental consciousness, the natural state mind. You know. Then you know. Oh, I think, you know, many people talk about my mind is pristine. Oh, I can understand during the meditation. I can experience. You know, now I understand it. You know, even Padmasambhava's teachings are saying. Mind is in a beautiful, pristine. Buddha says, you know, like similar things. Then you can directly perceive, you know, direct perception. That meditation is, you know, like direct perception. And then, you know, mind is, you directly perceive, you understand what I say first few words. Mind is innately pristine. Fundamentally comfortable, innately happy, then you have understand that meaning, what that meaning means. But your mind is distorted, it's hard understanding, you know, because you have no referential point what that means, because you don't know what that test. Once you do this meditation, your mental events are dispelled, and then you say all these words are very meaningful. When you have that kind of beautiful mind, pristine mind, then happiness, just happiness really begins there. And then, let's say you have that kind of mind, then look in the external world. External world is much beautiful than before. You know? And people, you know, like, you know, let's say mind is pristine. And then each time you, then sometimes people, you know, stay there maybe 20 minutes or 30 minutes with a pristine mind, not polluted mind, you know. Usually we are staying polluted mind day and night, make more pollutions, you know. And then you fight in your wife, then make more pollutions. Husband, more pollutions me make, you know, like boyfriend, girlfriends, they make more pollutions in everybody's mind. But, and when you have pristine mind, then there's no pollutions whatsoever. They call pristine mind, come to the surface. And this meditation is continually journey into pristine mind. You know, each time you meditate in like 10 or 20 minutes, you do the meditation, same thing. Your mind has become slowly, become pristine innately, and then remaining, maintaining pristine 20 minutes, remaining there, and then like that, and then slowly, gradually, not only during the meditation, but after meditation, your mind is almost everywhere, feels pristine. Like that way, and completely shift, you know, your daily life, because when you have pristine mind, there's no fear and anxiety. You know, if you can, you know, like much manage better, for example, you can teach with that, you can work with that, you can work with the polluting mind, why not working with the pristine mind? You know, some people think, you know, like they're working with polluted mind. You don't need polluted mind, you need to have pristine mind or beautiful mind. Therefore, for me, you know, like I always, you know, like the more I meditate in my mind is pristine, you know, like doesn't matter how many people are there, I don't have any concepts. You know, like 10 or 20 people, I don't think about it. Otherwise, I don't have that, and I'm become more self-conscious maybe. You know, self-consciousness, you know, like is maybe, oh, what I'm talking about, my English is okay, you know, who's these people? You know, that kind of fear arises, but when you're meditating, you have more pristine mind, you know, there's no fear, anxiety, you know. Therefore, and then your mind, once your mind is pristine, and that is called unconditional happiness. And then that happiness is not depending on external conditions. Not external conditions, because there's code, you know, like there's code, you say, once you find in happiness within you, you find in happiness everywhere. It's not like just happiness, not like we are talking about small, but happiness means there's degrees, dimensions, you know. Degrees, dimensions, happiness means like, you know, ordinary people, you know, just someone never meditate. Their only happiness come from something eat, something touch, something, you know, listen music or something. Everything's just some sensations from sense, you know, sense the world. They come from this. Is, oh, I feel good, you know. I feel good, I listen to that music, I feel in, oh, that's delicious food, you know, like everything's depend something there. You know, that is, you know, that means our happiness perspective is, you know, very small. You know, individuals, what do you mean happiness? Oh, I see something, I feel very happy. You know, I went to that party, I was just moment. We have, our happiness is very limited perspective. You know, like it depends any individual's perspectives or their, you know, habits. Therefore, we don't know. But if you talk about unconditional happiness, it's not talk that kind, more than that kind of happiness. This meditation is very important. You know, most people misunderstanding preconceived notions about Buddhist teachings. You know, like everybody thinks, oh, Buddhist means, you know, become vegetarian, you don't not need the world, you know, just silent somewhere. You know, like, they're not that. The Buddha's teachings, there's so many yanas called, many paths. Some they call, you know, like, there's yanas called, you know, first yana is called, Four Noble Truths, called void world. Second is the, you know, yana called Mahayana means path is taking, you know, first is avoid sensory experience. First yana, Buddhist, Four Noble Truths. Mahayana means transform the world, senses. Take, you know, like, third Vajrayana means all senses, sensory enjoyment, take into the spiritual path. You know, and many different ways. And people misunderstand Western Buddhists cannot put one category. There's so many different levels. And first yana means only monks. Then second to other yanas, everybody can practice. I mean, you know, like someone is enjoyed sensory world, then they can enjoy Mahayana and Vajrayana. They can practice that kind. But this practice is, you know, like it's very important. And what is like that? This is once you have perfect mind, once you have perfect mind, like the beautiful mind, like pristine mind, then what is really do is then sounds you hear, senses, forms you see, any images you see, touch, all sensory experience becomes ornaments your, you know, mind. They're not become hindrance, but they rise as happiness. You know, if you have the perfect mind, then whole entire world is become beautiful. And then how do you get perfect mind? Through these two meditations. One is meditation with the object, one is meditation without object. And these two meditations can put you best place. Best place in a, you know, best world. These two meditations are very, very important. Also produce unconditional happiness. And then it's what is you do is right now we are everything's do work with the world, engage in the world through polluted mind, you know, through negative thoughts, emotions. But once you do this meditation done, your mind is become every day more and more pristine. And then you engage in the world through pristine mind. You work with that, you communicate with that, you have relationship with that, you have talked with that. That's much more, you know, like very, very more effective than other way. For me, you know, what is my experience always, people, my experience is, means I do meditating, pressing mind, duly, because what happens is engage in the world, I have no fear, I have fearless become. You know, like I can do more things because I have no hesitations, fears. But I don't do meditating, my mind is become concerned, worried like that. Then world make me intimidate. Really hard to engage in, you know, I need to talk to these complicated people, I need to deal with this difficult. You know, like then it's really stressed up. But the more you remain in pristine mind, the more engaging world is no big deal, no problem. completely, you know, like comfortable. Therefore, if you want happiness, enlightenment, for example, you want to engage in the world properly, what is most important is the having person in mind, having, you know, like unconditional happiness. And that means, and after your mind is become like that, after your mind gains stability, more become person, not just only doing the meditation, always, you know, always means under any circumstances, your mind is become like that. You know, for example, you know, some people have 500 pounds, you know, 300 pounds, like 200 pounds, then slowly, slowly work, they become like very, you know, like 110 or 50 pounds, become very special, you know, become very gorgeous body. Similar, internally, you have meditating through your mind, become pristine, completely shift. When your mind shift, every attitude, you know, like connections, everything shift. They call that is, you know, you gain that kind of state of mind is called unconditional happiness. Because once you have unconditional happiness, your conditioned happiness is much more stable, more. Then this is, and there's one text called, you know, Manav Jamsan, they call it, he says, once you have the beautiful mind, the five senses become ornaments to your mind. What that means, once you have this kind of pristine mind, you enjoy senses every five, you know, you music, like for example, like music. Music, you have the difficult, distorted mind, you don't music 100% appreciate because there your maybe mood is not good, maybe you're not, you know, like always there something's wrong sometimes people's mind, you know, not always perfect, and then maybe enjoy half, maybe not. Once you have the pristine mind, you completely appreciate music, like enjoyment, images, everything. For example, my best way enjoy is, you know, after the 3-4 days teaching, I go to retreat, you know, 3 days and retreat. Then after that, you know, next 3, 4, 5 days, I do enjoy more powerful than any other time because my mind is best place. Also, I, you know, like regularly, almost 13 years, California, Napa Valley, usually I do the 3-day retreat meditation days. You know, people come first, you know, we gathering, you know, Fridays. Fridays, people come from San Francisco City, you know, still people are, you know, anxious a little bit, and, you know, intimidated a little bit, uncomfortable, you know, like, they know everybody's, but then second is okay. But second night, Saturday night, they're very, become completely shift their moods. They're more become enjoyed together. They're more happy. They're more relaxed. And third night, they're the best, you know, even. Because through 3 days, receive teachings, meditation, big impact to people's mind. You can see very, very big impact. Not only just 1 week, you know, like, whole month, but 3 days. Even you can 3 days impact people's personal well-being. That is the one way called unconditional happiness. You know, like without conditions, your mind is, you know, through meditation experience, and then that is called unconditional happiness, or this is called Dzogchen, or like point of view, highest point of view. And also called sometimes pristine mind. All these, you know, like teachings I want to talk about tonight. And then people have any questions, and I like, you know, some answers. People have any questions?
Yeah.
Yes.
So it seems for me very hard to maintain this experience of pristine mind, of pure perception, and I know practice is the answer to keep practicing, but I wonder what else you might advise to help maintain that.
Oh, just I'm talking tonight a little bit, the subject of a little bit, you know, talk about tonight. But actually, you have really need is real. You have some teacher can introduce you, or meditation teacher can introduce you. And then first, you know how to meditate him. Most time people, you know, each meditation, this is not particular meditation, not just regular meditation, but particular meditation. Therefore, you need to have, you know, like personal trainer, people says, like similar, you have meditation instructor. I think someone teaches you very perfectionally, and then meditating. And I think people, you know, like sometimes expect meditation immediately big results, you know, like. You know, like that's a problem, you know, like when we, exactly physical exercise, you just say, today you exercise, you know, like you want 5 pounds or 10 pounds, you want lots. No, it's hard. You know, like everything you may, like that, for example, people meditating, like, for example, someone never walks, you know, suddenly walking is very difficult, you know. It's a very hard walk because you never walked before. Running is very difficult, but slowly, slowly, the more you run, the more you walk, the more you can develop strength, you know. And at a certain point, you can run, you know, you can walk. Similar, our meditation is, we are usually very always engaging all the time, always never rest our mind. Suddenly doing, you know, that practice is very difficult, but you do over time, slowly, slowly improve. But first time difficult is normal. Expect it, completely normal. It's very important knowing that. You know, you day, first day, second, even 1 week your meditation is, you know, that has always normal. But then, you know, certain point you have the good experience. You know, like slowly, slowly you gain the meditation very comfortably. But you have need, you know, a good introductory meditator. That's, I think, helps you. Yes.
Yes. So I spend a lot of time with great teachers and heard a lot of teachings, and still I'm not a good meditator. It's true.
Okay.
So what advice do you have for those of us who are like, you know, the oil skin that can hold all the butters, so,
yeah,
and that's still not getting solved.
Yeah, I think first, I ask many people, first, need what kind of meditation you do, you know, that's important. You need to identify your meditation. So I need, you know, particularly, you know, identify your meditation. You need shamatha meditation or like another style of meditation, and then you do that meditation, and you need to identify. And then I think you must know how to meditate properly. The most time here, most people think they know meditating, but sometimes people not enough introductions. Therefore, not enough introductions, and therefore you have properly introduced, you know, particularly I say, I wanted this meditation, how to do this meditation? For example, like Dzogchen style meditation, or shamatha means mindfulness style meditation. And then how to do that, and then you support other people, helps you. And especially, you need to have, you know, like teacher, someone teach you particularly that meditation, practice with you. Not just only someone taught yesterday and then walk away, you know. Like someone really talk to you, meditating, and also spend time with you and meditating. And then you can ask questions that they can improve like that. That's very important. I always, me, it's very important, is, you know, professional teacher, someone someone not just talking and meditating, but really meditates, how to meditate, and then professional teacher. I think that's very important to gain perfect meditation. Okay.
Do you think meditation help us to go there? Because, I mean, it's my personal opinion. I think meditation is a tool. So we still need to learn more than meditation. We need to learn the meaning of life, other stuff, to support, support us to go there, to go to the path. And for me, I mean, it's just my personal I think meditation is not enough.
We are talking about a meditation perspective, for example. Of course, we need to do other things. Tonight's topic is, it says, for example, your doctors talk about how to take care. And they have other needs, but they talk about how to take care of your body. But also, similar, we are talking about tonight how to gain, unconditional happiness through meditation. Of course, everybody need to take care, but particularly topic is, how to gain, unconditional. We have conditional happiness. People know how to take care. They go to school, they're doing it every day. People have some source they take care. That's not denied. That's good. But at the same time, then how do you develop unconditional happiness through meditation? We have conditional happiness. We see everything. Also, we, come from external conditions. Also, same time, we have unconditional happiness. It's not, I'm not saying you need choosing the one. You cannot have conditional happiness. You need choosing unconditional. I'm not saying that. Of course, we need to have of course, we need conditional happiness, support, but at the same time, we need to have unconditional happiness. Then how do you, tonight my topic is, how do you have unconditional happiness through meditation? That's what I'm talking about. You understand? Okay, good. Thank you.
Rinpoche, I have a lot of boredom in my life. Can you advise how we might work with boredom?
Boredom means... Be bored, yeah. Be bored is called mental events. Events of mind. Events mind. When you, for example, bored means, or any other experience, something you bored, your mind is focused that boredness, and then boredom is become more powerful, and then takes over your mind. But the energy rises, for example, you're not focused, not pay attention, your mind tension not going that direction. And then it's the energy never becomes problematic. But once any mental events, anger or boredom, unhappiness, the energy rises, our tension caught up that, and then not let go of that, and then becomes reality. And then, boredom, sadness, fear, we call that is mental events. It's not reality. And then any rise is, what is good is meditation. When you meditation, do practice, and then you need the mental events to dissolve. Because that's not who your mind is. That's a temporary events. Comes, goes, that means temporary events. Therefore, you meditating properly, I think, and overcome the boredomness. And that means you need to know first is your mind is innately pristine. Second is you need to know the mental event, the boredom is mental events, not who you are. And that perspective you have, then meditating, then helps relieve that boredomness or any other emotion or thoughts.
I do meditation, and I know as this one, the one thing to make is a happiness mind is not think of anything. Just let the mind is freedom by nature. Yes, we don't thinking when we meditation. We don't thinking about the past. What is already happened. We don't think about the future, blaming to do anything, but we just enjoy in this moment. I know the doubting is very effective to myself, but when I'm thinking about how I can help other people to meditation, to know how the meditation is effective,
other people.
Any way to measure it by the current going in my body, in the people who meditation, or the oxygen going to in their blood.
Okay, I got. Thank you. I got. I think she's question is, you know, like her question is, when you're meditating, you know, not thinking the past, not thinking the future, your mind is comfortable in state, then how do you fact when you engage in, yeah, other things, other people? I think I already talked about that, you know, during the meditation, when you 20 minutes, 30 minutes, you are not, your mind is present moment. Leave your mind alone, you know, just leave your mind is present that way. And then slowly, mental events are dissolved. Your mind is perfect place. And that is, you know, like, and when you have that, slowly, the more you do that, your mind is become like that. And then you engage in the world after that much beautifully, because most mind, 70% thoughts, emotions are useless, our mind. Because the useless stuff is not there. When you, otherwise, even 70% thoughts are useless, you cannot avoid that. All the time they're there, whether you like it or not. You know, like you all the time, you know, 70%, you know, thoughts are unnecessary, harmful, and you know, like not. Without meditation, you need carrying that all the time, whether you work, night, sleep, or talk to other people. There's no way you can avoid that. But once you do pristine mind meditation, you know, like say you do meditation properly, you do that, the most time, the, you know, 50%, maybe depend, maybe 30%, maybe sometimes 70%, the junky thoughts, emotions, unless they're not there. Therefore, you engage in the world, you have the necessary thoughts come up. Or I'm going to, you know, like working, I'm going to, how do you talk? This kind of necessary. Therefore, your mind is more effective, and that is, this is, you're more compassionate. You know, why is your compassion? It's because your mind is no longer frozen. It's warm up. Then it's, you're more compassionate, you form more fear, love. Therefore, you can help other people much better way. Communicate. Generally, your communication much improved. That meditation people's experience is much better communication. You, when you have the, you know, like pristine mind and perfect mind, it's really are the reduce unnecessary mental, emotional thoughts. You know, any, you know, like garbage is no longer present. Therefore, you talk to someone, it's very, you're fully present, you're very comfortable, you know. You don't carry any baggages. You know what that means? You don't carry any baggages because more straightforward. I think that's really our, when you meditating, you're much effective engaged in the world. That's the bottom line is, you know, like that. I think that's really our, you know, everybody's experiences, you know, my own experiences, you know, like I have, when I do meditation, I'm more compassionate, also I'm much effective, engaged in the world. You know, when I teach, I don't have any hesitations, there's no fears. They're not think, they don't have self-conscious, and I think this is the best way, engaging engaging the world with the polluted, distorted mind, or engaging with the world through pristine, you know, undistorted mind. That makes a difference. You understand what it makes a difference? You know, that's really our technique, you know, that's very different. Therefore, enlightenment, we talk about enlightenment is like that. Enlightenment is means once someone's mind is totally pristine, totally, 24 hours, 7 days a week, you know, like totally pristine, you know, that is called, we call, there's Buddhist terminology, there's called enlightenment, you know. And therefore, you know, of course, we do every day working, we are going to school, you know, people are learning last things. And then I think having pristine mind is not a hindrance, but helps you manage everything. That is the call, very special, you know, like therefore, like we have conditional happiness. You have the pristine mind, your conditional happiness is undistorted conditional. Your conditional happiness you enjoy is undistorted. But with the polluted mind, your conditional happiness is not always become happiness. You know, like, especially I'm talking, you know, people, you know, like, you know, they say, sometimes they get married. I say, you want to get married, first you should attain enlightenment, then get married, you know? Otherwise, two complicated people come into sentences very hard, difficult each other, you know, like, I think that's really my message is, you want to marry, first you get enlightenment, or first you should have pristine mind. And then there's tolerance, compassion, appreciate, there's ability to appreciate other. There's good communication. But polluted mind is very difficult to deal, you know. Then one, two polluted mind talking each other always make upset. You know, make upset, angry, disappointed, unhappy, fighting, all things happen. But with pristine mind, none of these things that are necessary. I'm just you know, that's really we are therefore any engaging the world and either way is, you know, like I think meditation is much powerful. But I think, I don't know any messages here, California, you know, San Francisco is not a common everywhere, you know, you go work, people, you know, like practice meditation. You know, there are psychologists, you know, like the Google, you know, like there's big each year the Wisdom 2.0, the whole tech companies, there are 5,000 people come to San Francisco, talk about meditation, sense of well-being, you know, all these things, you know, very big, you know, it penetrates whole entire culture in the Bay Area, San Francisco. But I don't know I have never known, you know, my message is, you know, like I think everything's come from California, slowly impact. Maybe I hope future, especially, you know, this Harvard, very, very famous place, have good meditation practice, really. You know, I think that's really goal. You have everything, you know, there's very, all educations are good, but here also have meditation, also training mind program like that. It's very important. That affect whole entire culture. We are, you know, where we human beings live this world is not just only seeking, you know, like conditions, you know, like something, but really happiness, sense of well-being, connection. Everything's come from train your mind, you know, not just only train physical body, you know. We achieve something, but train your mind and finding more happiness, contentment through that is, I think, very important, fundamental human goal. It's not like just few people, you know, like, I says, someone asked me, you know, who need meditation? I says, if you have mind, you need to meditate. And your mind is completely perfect, then you don't need to meditate. You know, you have mind, you have body, you know, that means you need exercise, eat good diet, you know, eat good food. Similar, if you have mind, someone has mind, they need meditating. It has nothing to do with religion or spiritual. It's to do be human being. I mean, it's working with your mind. And that's really our, and then I'm happy to tonight dress and meet everyone to talk to, you know, like this Harvard, then university, also Boston, and then Nico and Pran, and I don't know who set up these things, other people. Thank you very much. Other people, and then I don't know anybody, individuals' names, but then I think right now my, you know, like teaching is finished here. Thank you very much.